Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen, Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show.
Oh my gosh, Rangers. It's your exhausted, fearless leader, Jackie Cation, Ranger of the Dork Forest. We're in the Dork Forest. And you know what I have to say? Justin Maharab is coming to for the win. This is the third time Justin's on the show. We've talked Marvel. We've talked MCU. We've talked tabletop superhero games, which Andy is writing. He's trying to get his book out this year of everything, The Hero Instant. He's redoing the website. He's actually running, and I called him to ask him, because you want to discuss, because of your Canadian-ness.
Yes.
Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight.
And he is actually doing an Alpha Flight Hero Instant,
oh,
where one team, it's a team of a mashup of Alpha Flight and Great Lakes Avengers.
Oh, that's going to be great.
That's good times. And I was like, is Alpha Flight like the Great Lakes Avengers? He said, no, Alpha Flight is legit.
Yes.
And they are formidable. Great Lakes Avengers are from Milwaukee. And I was like, well, excuse me.
They do have something in common, however.
What do they have?
Are we ready to jump right in, by the way? I don't know if you need
We're jumping in.
All right, cool.
It's Justin. All of his info will be in the notes. You're probably already following him on Instagram. It's Justin Maharab. And is there anything you want to plug?
I have another show that I do with my friend Scott called Is That Some Kind of Japanimation Thing? Where
really?
I have been not up to date with anime, as is the proper term. So much so that I still refer to it, perhaps in a slightly joking sense,
as Japanimation.
Japanimation. And because that was what we called it in the 80s, because it was just animation from Japan. Hey, let's create a little word from that.
Right. But now if all the Ute are, they, boy, do they love that anime.
They adore
and the
it.
Manga. And have you seen the one where the big people eat the little people?
Not yet. That may be one of our
creepy
future seasons, but
super creepy. Something about Titans. That's what
Attack
it's called.
Attack on Titan, I think, is the title of it.
That's it. And it's
episode.
Big people eat little people. It's too much for me. It's a little intense, but
very
I know
intense.
It's well done, and people love it. Love it. And so I've always wanted Lori Kilmartin to come on and talk to me about it for an hour, but she said that she would get too mad. Anyway, Alpha Flight. Let's
Alpha
get
Flight.
Into it. But where can they find your Japanimation?
Is That Some Kind of Japanimation Thing? Is available on all your standard podcasting venues. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and there's a
is
website.
Is that some sort of Japanimation?
Some kind of Japanimation thing.
Thank you. Some kind. I'm going to get it right.
ITSKOJT is the abbreviation. I used to drop.
I
used to drop a hashtag.
Email me that, and I'll put it in the. I'll put it in the notes.
Oh, I shall.
Because the writing of it down failed in middle of Japanimation. me trying to spell it. I'm a little punchy. You might have to take the lead here, Justin.
No, it's all cool.
Let's hear it.
Yes. So I am here to talk with you about Alpha Flight. They are. How familiar are you with the team? Have you?
I have read a little Alpha Flight. I like it when they go into the North Woods, and then all of a sudden there are criminals, and Alpha Flight will show up sometimes. You know what? I think I read something where the X-Men had completely blown off the fact that they are no longer in the United States. And they just followed somebody into a different sovereign nation, as superheroes are wont to do. And then all of a sudden Alpha Flight shows up and is like, "Hi, you guys have any papers? What's brought you to our world?"
Borders are a wild thing in the 616.
Was Wolverine or...
That is a great question. Wolverine
is it a good place to start because he's Canadian.
That is a great place to start. Wolverine is not only Canadian, he was originally going to be the leader of Alpha Flight. You're familiar with Wolverine's origin story, right? The original origin story before Wolverine Origins was published and made everything terrible. Like he just.
Yeah, isn't there something amnesia weird in the about woods? Him being a cowboy? Yeah, Amnesia in the Woods is a much better origin story than he's a million years old and he was happened to have been a samurai back in Tom Cruise days. I just like Amnesia in the Woods.
Amnesia in the Woods is a great place to start. Originally, when they did the Amnesia in the Woods, he was in fact encountered by James McDonald Hudson and his wife Heather, who would go on to be the leaders of Alpha Flight. And they found him in his berserker rage running through the woods with a case of amnesia. And they calmed him down.
And also, whatever. What's the name of that? The Canadian beer? Moose?
Yeah, Baba Moosehead.
Yeah, a case of berserker and Moosehead. so sorry.
That's okay. Hey, come out swinging. I appreciate that. And so they encounter him, and that was one of the things that gets established, you know, later on in his story when they realize, oh, this ultimate mysterious thing. Sure, it's cool. Let's start drawing in some of the vaguer parts of the backstory. So they were the ones who encountered him in the woods.
Who wrote that?
I'm pretty sure that was Claremont. That was during the Claremont era, during the X-Men.
Okay.
X-Men.
Oh, cool.
Now, you had mentioned Pink Pearl. And
right.
I am trying.
Who looks almost exactly like Big Bertha.
Yes, it is. But
Big Bertha is a supermodel who then becomes very large as a lady when she is a large lady, superhero lady. Pink Pearl, always a large lady.
Yes. Plus size. A BBW who has some bad ideas and wants to hurt a lot of people.
Right. Right. She's a villain. She's just a regular criminal though, right?
Yeah. She is a pure criminal. Amusingly enough, both those characters created by John Byrne.
Right. Which is that was the weird thing that Andy was like, ask him what he thinks of the fact that.
Oh, I think John Byrne has issues.
A type.
Concern.
He has a type.
I noticed something while reading. That he also, I don't want to use the term fetish, but I think John Byrne has a medical fetish because on several occasions, female superheroines, I know for a fact that She-Hulk was one. I think, I can't remember who else, but there would be a frequent thing where some sort of strangeness would happen to them and they'd lose control of their powers then they would be examined by a medical professional, they would return. And every time you use the phrase, I was poked and prodded in places I didn't even know I had. And John Byrne, why are you so specific with that phrase?
He loves that line.
He adores
it. He used it Did he use it with in your memory? And it would be might be less noticeable in a man superhero.
Oh no, he never used it for a fella. Superhero. No fella ever got poster
sure?
product.
Okay.
I never noticed it. I mean, if he did, bravo to you, John Byrne,
it did
for
not.
Being more open minded than I ascribed to you. But yes.
Right. Now, we should probably say this is being recorded the day Peter David died.
Yes.
Very sad. Very sad, Peter David.
We've lost one of the
great
creators.
Did Peter David ever write Alpha Flight?
I don't believe he did. I don't know if he ever – I don't think he ever wrote an issue of one of their ongoing series or if he even wrote them as a guest star in one of his own books.
But I was curious if he had jumped in because I tried to read – every time I saw his name – ever since he wrote X Factor Investigations, I was like, "Who's that, Peter? What's Peter David writing?" And but okay, so John Byrne didn't create Alpha Flight.
He co-created Alpha Flight. I think he may have been
with Claremont too.
With Chris Claremont.
Okay.
Now, I came into them a little late. I first encountered Alpha Flight in an issue of Marvel 2-in-1. Which is very much
what year is that?
1982, I believe.
80s? Okay.
I was a very young child. Went into my local corner store because small town Ontario does not have a lot of comic book shops yet. One eventually showed up. I was thrilled, and it closed quickly because you can't sell comic books in a town of 5,000.
It could
people.
Not be. It was not sustainable.
No. But the big town had some. Yay. They got all my money when I was in high school. but yes, so the first issue I saw was Marvel 2-in-1 83. The Thing confronts the power of Sasquatch. Yes. So, you know, Marvel 2-in-1 was a great series where every month the Thing would team up with a superhero and they would fight villains. And they had an ongoing story where the Thing's friend, Bill Foster, Giant Man, had a terminal illness, and the Thing was also infected with a disease, and they only had one dose of the cure. So Giant Man sacrificed his own health to save the Thing, Ben Grimm. And so Ben was like, oh shit, I gotta cure this guy. So he goes to find Dr. Walter Langkowski, who is a former football player, radiologist, and superhero.
What was his superhero name? Walter Langkowski?
No, Walter Langkowski is his real name. He is Sasquatch.
He is actually Sasquatch.
Yes.
Walter Langkowski, football player and radiologist, look like Sasquatch?
Yes.
When he's a radiologist, does he look like Sasquatch?
No, he is in fact a very he looks like a former football player with a lab coat. He's a very bulky, husky,
so
handsome fella who can change.
Shape changer.
Yes.
Into the Sasquatch.
Into Sasquatch, yes. Oh, no.
Huh.
I have done something weird. Sorry. Yes. And he's big. He's furry. He's very strong. Are we all good still?
Yes.
All right.
I checked when you panicked. I was like, I should check too. No, you're doing great.
Excellent. he goes to... goes to find Dr. Langkowski because as a radiologist, he could help with treating Bill Foster. And because they're two superheroes and they're meeting for the first time, they get into a fight. And there's much kerfuffle done in the woods of the North.
Thing and Sasquatch. Who wins?
They call it a mulligan because Sasquatch is traveling with his superhero friend, fellow Alvin shaman, Dr. Michael Two Young Men, a very well-educated group of superheroes, I'd like to say.
I was going to say, that's the second doctorate.
Sasquatch is a radiologist. He went to school with Bruce Banner. So he gained his powers through a gamma radiation experiment.
Well,
at least he thought he did.
Constantly fiddling.
can't not mess out with the gamma rays. I blame the professor. He probably caused the whole thing.
It should be a controlled substance.
It probably is. They just, you know, they don't care. He was working
for
the government.
How did they get a hold of it?
He was working. you know, he was working for the government. I think Walter just found out some stuff, and it's like, you know, he probably got a government grant to do it. And it's like, hey, what do you do if you expose a football player to gamma radiation? I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah, like that's not going to pass the drug test anyway.
So, yes, Shaman is investigating. Please.
Quick question. Am I correct? Do football players get drug tested? Do you have any idea? This has nothing to do with...
You're asking the wrong guy. And this was in the 70s he was playing, too. And
that was in the 70s. But they're obviously all on some sort of steroids, right?
It's possible there's some performance-enhancing substances that are being used.
And nobody seems to care. But they seem to care in baseball. Right?
Perhaps.
I don't know enough about it. Different dork forest. Yeah, anyway, saying
there's a dorkdom that would be love to discuss this.
I can't wait to hear who's got that. Jackie at Jackie Cation, mate. Tell me about if your dorkdom is where steroids are okay to use in professional sports and where they are not. Okay. Now, we're back to Sasquatch and the thing and his good friend, the Shaman.
Shaman is doing some sort of magical investigation. And he accidentally releases a ancient Indian spirit, indigenous spirit named Ranark, and he interrupts their fight. And they're like, oh, well, here's an actual problem we should solve instead of punching each other in the woods.
The enemy of my enemy. Okay. Yes.
Well, the enemy of humanity, really. So then I did not read part two of that story for years.
Because you assumed it just ended well?
Oh, no. I assumed something good. I think I read like two issues down the road I managed to get. But this was, once again, convenience store comic book purchases.
There's always going to be gaping holes. Yes. Okay. You got what you got.
And that was my introduction to Alpha Flight, to two of the characters, at least. And the rest will probably have to wait for later on.
Was there Alpha Flight before then? Like, when was Alpha Flight first created? Do you know?
Alpha Flight was first created. Weapon Alpha, who is James Hudson, he first appeared in X-Men 109. So this was about 2 years.
Weapon Alpha.
Weapon Alpha. So he was the... he was basically sent to recover Wolverine because the Canadian government... In Wolverine's first appearance in the X-Men, he cuts the belt, or I think the tie. He attacks the colonel who he reports to and says, I quit. I am joining this bald guy. We're going to have adventures. I'm probably going to meet a redhead and get into a weird emotional experience with her. You know, he didn't know all this, but this is down his road. So Canada was like, well, you can't do that. You have to, we have contracts. We invested into your training. I think at that point they may have still thought that they invested in his adamantium skeleton. I'm not sure the specifics. That has changed repeatedly over the several decades since then.
Yeah, it has.
So Weapon Alpha comes to recover Wolverine. It goes poorly. He attacks the X-Men, and there's a Donnybrook, and he shoots an energy beam at Colossus, which bounces off his head and injures Moira McTaggart, which gets them all very angry.
Now, can I ask what Moira McTaggart's superpower is?
At this time, she did not have one. She has been given one since then. She was just the Scottish scientist who had been raising Professor Xavier's son in her mutant lab in Scotland. And this was at this time, it may be after, not 100%, did not research X-Men as well as I tried to research Alpha Flight. Yes, so she was she was present. They were sunning themselves on a lake near the X-Mansion. Weapon Alpha attacked, and she got injured, and he left. And he's like, "Whoa, bad idea. Let's get out of here." Yes, was that a inquiry, or was that a simply?
What is Weapon Alpha's superpowers?
He has a super suit, which lets him fly, burrow underground, project energy beams. He gives him a super shield, an energy shield. And he can also lock himself to Earth's magnetic field while the Earth rotates beneath him. So he can fly to a point in the atmosphere, enact that power, and suddenly he's shifted several hundred kilometers to the east, I believe.
Wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing
That's very power. Neat. And that. He used it, I think, twice. Didn't actually do anything with it. It's a neat power, but it's like not, you know, I mean, perhaps it's practical as a transportation thing, you know, but just, I hate the idea of him like slamming into an airplane in midair or something. I'm not sure about the practicality of it, but yes. And he's got a big old Canadian flag he's got a big old maple leaf on his chest representing his Canadianness. And
excellent. The maple,
please. Let's try and get Wolverine again.
We have a small satellite delay.
After the X-Men have voyaged to Japan. Okay. Sorry, was that a written? Okay. The X-Men have traveled to Japan. I believe they encounter Sunfire and the Silver Samurai. Wolverine meets his girlfriend, Mariko Yashida. And, you know, she hands him a note and says, "Teehee, Wolverine, Logan-san, you're so cute." And he's like, "Teehee, I speak Japanese and I like you, girl." Which sets up the Wolverine miniseries, which will be yodes of fun later in the year, but completely irrelevant to this conversation. So they're flying back on a private jet. Owned by, I can't remember the character's name, but Trinity from The Matrix played that character on Jessica Jones. So I don't know if that knocks that loose.
Okay.
But he was originally a male.
No, but
in the comics. Yeah. Okay. So they're flying back. There's weather in Calgary. So we're going to have to land in Calgary. Let this storm blow over. The Daughters of the Dragon, Colleen Knight, Misty Knight and Colleen Wing, also there, do not get directly involved in this story. But when they arrive in Calgary, they then encounter, and we all encounter for the first time, Alpha Flight. Now, there was an interview I got to read sometime back with John Byrne, where he describes the creation of the characters. And he's like, so they had Guardian, they had Weapon Alpha, who is now Vindicator, I think, because he was very upset that he injured Moira McTaggart. So you have Sasquatch, who is strong and a big guy, to fight Colossus. Mm-hmm. You had Shaman to control the weather, to fight Storm. You had Snowbird, who has power. Her power is she is a metamorph. She can turn into any of the animals of Canada's north. Frequently a polar bear.
Yes.
Or a big snowy owl or a wolverine. And she's very cool.
Did you ever do a moose?
And then you have,
a regular wolf?
I don't believe she ever turned into a moose. I think it's for the north.
Watered it.
So those are more like
further
woodier areas. Yes.
And predators, probably.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, a moose is the most dangerous animal in this country. They are the Canadian version of the hippo. When people talk about, you know what the most dangerous animal in the world is? Probably a hippo. And then you have North Star and Aurora, and who are there to be French.
Oh, the French. Now, but the thing is North Star has powers. I played North Star in my Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Oh, he has many powers. What are his powers?
I can't remember.
Super speed and flight. And he also has the ability when him and his sister make contact, they provide a large flash of light and they blind anyone in the area, which is frequently used to end fights.
Oh, yeah, that's a great, like, poof. And we're going.
Yes.
Yes.
Smoke grenade. Only good for it's them. French flashbang grenade. And so there is a fight. The storm that Shaman summoned gets out of control. storm has to control it to prevent it from literally ending Western civilization. So she is able to do that.
Right.
And then one of the Alphans zaps her in her weakened state, causes kerfuffle to prevent further harm. Wolverine agrees to surrender and go with them. And he, of course, breaks out of the truck before the X-Men can come to rescue him. And they go home. And that was...
Okay.
That was the end of the first Alpha Flight appearance. It was a two-issue story. I believe the title for one of them was Chaos in Calgary, which is a great little... doesn't rhyme, nice, but, you know. Yeah. It's cool.
Alliteration, though. It does work alliteratively.
Alliteration. Yes. There you go. Yes. Fancy words of English. Also feeling a little wound today. I was at an anime convention all weekend, so that was very exciting.
Oh, wow.
But, yes. I like to think that at some point someone...
some kind of Japanimation?
Yes, it is. They use volunteers even if you are not 100% on the medium. Yes. We did not do an episode of the podcast at the show. My co-host does not care for it. That would be hilarious. Definitely try and
Fair enough.
Convince him. But I like to think that at least some army colonel does the Roscoe P. Coltrane grab his hat and throw it on the ground in anger after they discover Wolverine has broken out of the truck.
Again, it's now, so is yes. Go ahead, please.
No. You were asking a question. I love.
No, I was just going to ask, what the next iteration of Alpha Flight is, and where Alpha Flight is as we go. Yeah.
Okay. I like to actually think about from sort of the Watsonian perspective. How Alpha Flight came to be, because in the Marvel Universe, they were sort of part of the superhero boom that happened in the 60s or in the previous era, based on the appearance of the Fantastic Four. So, you know, based on the history of the team, Guardian, Weapon Alpha, Vindicator, he stole his power suit from his employer, which was a American Oil Company, which was also involved in the military industrial complex. So they were going to use it for purposes of causing problems for people. And, you know, it's not like oil companies don't do damage to the general planet and specific individuals.
Was it Roxxon?
No, it was Amcam. Although they may have been involved with Roxxon.
It was called Amcam?
Yes.
Sure.
Later on, I will get into that detail hopefully a little later. But so the company he worked for, Amcam, he found out they were going to use his burrowing weapon blasting supersuit for nefarious purposes. So he stole it, and he destroyed all of his research and notes, and he took the helmet, which could be used to control it. So now all they had was a super suit, which could not be controlled. And so that was sort of his origin story. And then Shaman had also been a doctor, but he abandoned the white man's medicine for the ways of his own people after his wife died of cancer and he was unable to cure her. And he went into the woods and got incredibly cut. Like, it was amazing. He had these scenes in his, in the Alpha Flight series, the first 12 issues, were very interesting. I'll go into detail, but they also had stories where they basically filled in the backgrounds of each of the characters, and Shaman's involved him just going into the woods for years and running and swimming and becoming the kind of guy who can wear a Kevlar, who can wear a spandex outfit and have people go, "Hey, good job, Doc."
Right.
And then Snowbird is a demigoddess. Her mother was, I can't remember the name. She was one of the Inuit goddesses, and she mated with a human and birthed a divine child to defend the North. And she had a shaman, help deliver the child in a mystical medical ceremony. And that was how they all came to be. And based on Marvel time, this all happened sometime in the past 7 to 8 years. And the plan for Alpha Flight had been that they would be a government organization. They would have Alpha Flight, who are the main team of superheroes, with training groups of Beta and Gamma Flight. And when Beta Flight members were ready, they would join Alpha Flight. When Gamma Flight members were ready, they would join Beta Flight. So it just, you know, constant.
Oh, like varsity and junior varsity.
I will take your word. That's an equivalent.
Another football, another weird football analogy, which is very unusual for me, but here we are.
No, nothing there you done. Go. it's a metaphor and it works. Originally Wolverine was supposed to lead the team, but he left the organization before he could do more than lead them in one mission. They did a special in 92, showing him leading that first mission. It was him, Snowbird, a super genius named Smart Aleck, who became a villain. There was Saint Elmo, who was also a divine fellow who controlled the Northern Lights. Groundhog was a secret agent who wore a Max supersuit, which allowed him to burrow and shoot lasers. And Stitch, who was a mutant who had a lot of trauma, which is pretty much the default state for mutant kind. It's not a emotionally healthy.
What could Stitch do? Was he just a seamstress? What happened?
She could control needles, and frequently she sewed things with them, but I think she also used them in an offensive capacity. They confronted Egghead, a classic Avengers villain. And then they lost Saint Elmo in the confrontation where he had to stop, I believe, a nuclear weapon from detonating using all of his divine Saint Elmo's fire powers.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's a drag. Who killed him?
Egghead. He was using the nuke for Bendis, though?
Bendis likes to kill people.
Oh, he loves to kill people. Oh, we're going to get to Bendis, Jackie. You don't worry for a goddamn second. Brian Michael Bendis,
he's all over. Brian Michael Bendis he's got his finger in so many pies. He writes good dialogue. I'll say that for him.
No one has ever looked at Brian Michael Bendis's dialogue and said, I don't find this engaging and zippy. They have thought, couldn't this story be told in one issue instead of five? That is a frequent concern people have with his work. You're writing for the trade, Brian, and let's concision. It works. But, you know, that was the industry at the time, and he was a product of his environment.
Sure. you can't blame him. It was nature versus nurture. Nurture versus nature.
It was capitalism all along, the villain, Jackie.
All along. And we can only hope this is late stage.
Yes.
So.
Shortly after that Marvel 2-in-1 story, Alpha Flight participated in the Contest of Champions, which was a 3-issue miniseries. I think the first miniseries Marvel produced, where all of the superheroes got together and got into a fight. Not all at once. There were, there were four separate battles, and several Alpha Flight members got involved. And it's not great, but it's amusing. And I read it when I was 9. So once again, I read issue 2 of the 3. So I didn't know how it started. And I didn't know how it finished, but I read that one story and I'm like, this is cool. Hey, those folks are Canadian.
Welcome to rural Canada, where you get episode issue 2. And
it's just like watching Star Trek reruns. It's like, you know, I've watched this episode 8 times. I've never seen City on the Edge of Forever, but I have seen, I have watched Spock weep as he pressed his hands into the juicy concrete of a Horta's body a dozen times. So thank you, CKWS, okay, for your transmission guidelines. So they return shortly thereafter, after the Phoenix Saga, the iconic Phoenix Saga. Wolverine, yes, and Nightcrawler come up to Canada to try and make amends, to try and bury the hatchet. So they break into Mac and Heather's house. Heather is Guardian Mac's wife. She tells them they're off on a mission pursuing the Wendigo, who is the same villain Wolverine and the Hulk fought in Wolverine's initial appearance in Incredible Hulk 181, a comic book that I had the opportunity to buy several times in my youth. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine, I can get a reprint. And now it's worth thousands of dollars. Wolverine's first appearance.
Yeah, I think you emailed me that, I read that. Mm. And so I looked it up on eBay, and there's a 1.0 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
That you could get for, I think it was $1,000. And then there was a 9.0 that was worth $108,000. Oh. And I was like, it hasn't sold, though. No. I mean, eBay, yes. There's a couple of people who put it in their cart, according to the eBay app.
When they cast the next Wolverine, it will probably sell to some speculator. But
because there's going to be a new Wolverine.
Oh, I guarantee you. Although, unless they make Hugh Jackman play him till he's 90, as Deadpool said.
Right, which is as Deadpool did say, yes.
So, yes, the Wendigo is once again causing trouble in the North. So, Guardian and Snowbird, and I believe Shaman was with them as well. No, because Shaman and Sasquatch are having their mission. So the Wolverine goes up to join them, and they manage to together defeat the Wendigo. And James and Mac mentioned something about how you are legally responsible under Canadian law for anything you do while possessed by a spirit. And I am pretty certain, I'm really hoping that's something that Trudeau reversed during his time as prime minister. Because I'm like, that seems kind of harsh. You know, I think there's insanity laws and there's I was possessed by a spirit laws. And
right,
that should be a defense. And
a Wendigo, is that a Canadian thing? What is a Wendigo?
In the Marvel stories, it's a
yes. It's
a demon that possesses. It's a spirit that possesses someone who performs cannibalism and then goes on to eat other people. I'm not familiar with the traditional stories. I do know that many Indigenous storytellers don't love how much people use it, and I can understand how that would be something they'd be like, hey, you know, maybe don't.
Oh, it's been co-opted a little too much. I just tried to Google it, and it looks like it's a moose.
Okay.
So that would make it very dangerous.
Big old horn type thing, or
big old horns? Yeah,
excellent.
Looks like moose horns. So the co-opting of so many
it's cultural appropriation's bad, folks. Don't.
And yet it is happening in all directions, and just try not to use it for evil. How about that? And because I don't think it's going to stop. But you might want to think about it. That's all.
Use your creative skills.
The Wendigo.
They defeat the Wendigo. Yes. There's a weird thing about Canadian law.
Right, which is hilarious.
There's some flirtation between Snowbird and Wolverine that never pays off. Ooh. Which, you know, I'm like, they make a nice couple.
I would like that.
Yes. I ship it. I should check archive of our own, see if there's anyone who's done any fanfic for that. Mac gets back to Prime Minister Trudeau's office, and he's given the bad news at Alpha Flight and Department H, the government department, which I believe is part of the Ministry of Defense, being shut down due to austerity measures. apologies and good luck in the private sector.
Wow.
And at the same time, oh, that's it. Sasquatch and the twins appear in an issue of Machine Man 18, a book I am certain I've bought like four or five times, because as early Alpha Flight appearances go, it's not an incredibly valuable one. You can usually find it for a few bucks. It was in the Machine Man series, written by Tom DeFalco and illustrated by Steve Ditko. Amusingly enough, Machine Man was created by Jack Kirby in his 2001 comic book series based on the Stanley Kubrick movie.
Oh, weird.
Yes.
So is Machine Man some sort of computerized android?
Yes. He's a super robot,
Okay.
And as like every Marvel super robot, you know, he has feelings, you know, and humanity and doesn't acknowledge that.
And they've sent Sasquatch to talk to him.
Sasquatch and the twins. There was an ish episode where the Hulk was in Canada. The government thought that Machine Man may have caused the Hulk to attack Canada. So, they send Sasquatch and the twins to detain him. They go to New York. Okay. There is investigations. I believe the twins go to Studio 44, whatever the name of the fancy
54?
Disco. 54, yes.
The disco, yes.
Yes, they are
to
they're
do cocaine
dancers.
And to meet Andy Warhol? What?
I don't
what
think
is happening?
There is no one who needs to use cocaine less than these two. But, you know.
Is that Aurora and North Star?
Aurora and North Star, yes. I refer to them as the twins, but yes. Aurora and North Star, a pair of Quebecois superheroes. And this is the only appearance of a Department H spy, Agent K. They go down, they meet Machine Man. They realize he didn't actually attack Earth, Ontario, Canada with the Hulk. I believe that Agent K does get a U.S. senator imprisoned for crimes that he committed. So there's a little bit of espionage for good there. You know, as you mentioned, I'm not certain of the legality of Alpha Flight's activities in New York City at the time, but the town was...
Or the Hulk's activity in Canada months earlier.
We can be pretty certain that was actually... That was bad. The Hulk doesn't really do anything that gets the approval of society or the law. You know, that is a big
part
of his...
Poor guy, he gets shot up into space.
He does.
His friends.
They are dicks.
They're like... You know what? We're sick of cleaning up after this guy. We're just going to send him, and he's going to become the king of his own planet.
Yes, and hopefully nothing happens to get him angry there. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
Classic.
His wife and child, I think, are killed. Is that correct?
His wife is killed. His child survives the destruction of the planet. Because
is that Hulking?
Hulkling. No, not That's Hulkling. Not Hulking. Hulkling's a different character. This is Scar. Hulkling... Oh. Is, I believe, a Skrull who...
He might be a Skrull.
Uses...
Ends up being king.
Yes. There is... Comics Scar, are weird.
Right.
He appears in the last screen of the She-Hulk series when Hulk returns with his son. And he will be off somewhere with Star Fox not doing anything, just being a story. That doesn't get told.
Right. Well, they keep casting these very, very excited actors who then do not get to be the Black Knight.
No.
Or who don't get to be, you know, it's so sad.
Well, I mean, at least Simu Liu gets his own movie. You know, he got a movie. Shang-Chi did Kung Fu. He was the master of Kung Fu. And the Mandarin shows up and the Iron Man 3 Mandarin gets... redeemed.
Right. There is recurring, and you do, if you're lucky, you get some recurring spots.
Yes.
And, but it, you know, you gotta take into account that these people told their parents. How about that?
They told Entertainment
Tonight.
Guys,
I got it made. Yes. Anyway.
Yes. But
where are we at?
Yeah. Where are we at? We have just finished. We are just getting started, Jackie. Oh, my God. We have 15 minutes. All right. Well, I'm not going to be able to finish it, but hopefully we'll get to the best comic book of the 80s, Alpha Flight number 12. But let's start with number one, because you see, John Byrne, co-creator of Alpha Flight, was a big deal at Marvel at the time. He was writing the Fantastic Four when that meant something. So, you know, he was, you know, basically a wunderkind at the company. And I don't know if he asked to make an Alpha Flight comic based on his activities during, and I don't think he asked. I think he got told, well, why don't you do an Alpha Flight comic? And he's like, I don't know. And it's like, I'm just going to back a really big truck full of money up to your house and then we can talk some more. And pretend this is Jim Shooter, just like cranking money out of the back of a pickup truck. So he starts a new book. There's much excitement. It is the cover story of Marvel Age number 2. And Byrne is like, you know, he talks about it, an interview that I have not read in 42 years, 42 years, Jackie. I am
right. But it stuck with you because you remember that there was an article. Right?
I do recall. Yes. Reading Marvel Age, this was when the comic book store had opened in my tiny town of Napanee, and I got to buy Marvel Age from this store, and look, it's a comic book for 25. It's a book for 25 cents talking about what Marvel's doing this month, reading advertising material, paying the money to sell it to me.
Yes. Yes.
What a beautiful, gullible time. They were making a comic about Alpha Flight, and very little is retained. Probably, I don't know if I still own it. Someone's probably scanned it on the internet, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
But then the comic launched, and it was a double-sized issue. The team reunited, and they got together, and they fought a giant elemental force of evil called Tundra. And they introduced two new characters to the team. Puck, who is an acrobat, and Bon Vivant, who tells many stories about hanging out with very cool people over the years.
Bon Vivant, whose superpower is that they can eat out on stories.
God, he could.
Isn't Puck an Eternal?
I mean, Puck, he could
showed
be.
Up at the end of Eternals, right?
No, that's different. That was, you're thinking of the guy who eats poop, played by Patton Oswalt.
No.
Or Eros. Are you thinking Eros?
I'm not thinking Eros. I thought it was Puck at the end of... I've watched The Eternals a bunch on Delta in the last... Delta Airlines in the last couple of months.
The post-credit sequence introduced Eros, and he was introduced by a little dude who was Pip the Troll.
I thought the little dude was Puck.
No, that was Pip the Troll.
Pip, not Puck.
Yes.
So sorry. Okay, so
Puck is also a little person. He's not a mutant. Okay. He's just a guy who's very – he works out. He's very nimble.
Oh, he's a tough little person.
He's a tough little person. He will mess you up. And he does cartwheels, which he uses offensively to disorient people, I think. Nice. And plus, he's small and tough, so he's like a hockey puck. But I like to think he was named after the character in A Midsummer Night's Dream because he's smart and he quotes Shakespeare all the time.
Sure, sure. Then he was. If he's constantly quoting Shakespeare, Yeah.
But and then there's also Marina, who is a aquatic character, possibly Marina.
Okay.
It's one of those words you read that you don't actually hear anyone pronounce.
You read too many times and not enough people have said it out loud for there to be a consensus in your mind.
Yeah. Yes. She is an aquatic superheroine from Newfoundland. She's never, to the best of my knowledge, appeared in animation or live action. And I don't know if you're familiar with the people of Newfoundland. They have a very distinctive accent.
Murdoch's Mysteries isn't one of the constables
is, I believe, a Newfoundlander. So
yes. And so he will occasionally do a sort of goofy accent, and you're like, oh, I take it that's the accent from yes. that part of the country.
That is the regional dialect, and it's quite a unique and distinctive thing. I'd like to know how they play that. I'd like, you know.
Right.
I'd like to hear Marina or Tanner and Jesus, Guardian. What are we going to do about these fellas up there? Oh, them Skrulls is showing up again. Oh, I ain't caring for this one bit. No, sorry, Matt. Apologies to the people of Newfoundland.
Turns out Justin doesn't do a lot of accents, but he's willing to give it the old college try. Good for you.
Thank you. Yes. So the team of Alpha Flight reunites. Puck is unable to join them because he's just a dude. So he tries to borrow a jet from an Air Force base and gets into a fist fight with a guard. But they defeat Tundra using Marina's power of creating a giant water spout, which provides enough moisture for Shaman to create a rainstorm to disintegrate Tundra. They defeat Tundra years before climate change would be actually able to do it in reality.
Was Tundra like a sentient iceberg?
Yes. He was more of a sentient patch of grass. He is shown being summoned by an old mentally harmed guy. He like basically kicks the dirt to form a giant outline. He sits on it, puts on a magic crown, and suddenly Tundra rises. It is going to be revealed later on that he's one of the great beasts, which are mythical monsters of Inuit tales. And Snowbird has been brought to Earth to help defeat them. So by defeating Tundra in this first issue, she's way ahead of her. She's getting that job done. Her mama's going to be very proud.
Task one done.
Yes.
Next up.
Check that
clean
off.
The stables. Exactly.
So issue two, we get to the training session and Marina enters a phase and attacks Puck, eviscerates him and flees, which basically begins the team being mostly split up for the next 10 issues. So you get a few issues where, Puck's in the hospital. Marina goes to try and find out why she did that. And it sort of becomes a Fantastic Four crossover. So the Submariner and the Invisible Woman show up, and he introduces a new villain known as the Master of the World, who is a cave dude who got changed by the spaceship that brought Marina to Earth. And so I think he wanted to create his own Doctor Doom type bad guy, and he didn't really catch on as much. He's primarily an Alpha Flight villain. He did appear once in the Kang Dynasty series. I don't know if you ever read that.
I know I've read some Kang. I don't know if I'm getting it mixed up with the Marvel Puzzle Quest game that I play. but I have some Kang knowledge, yes.
Kang basically invaded the Earth, and the Master of Earth was like, I don't like this. I'm the Master of Earth. I'm going to defend Earth from you, Kang. And he also is a dick about the whole thing. So the Avengers go to fight him. Ms. Marvel kills him. And
what?
The Master of the Earth
she
is killed
should be
by
pulling her. She should be pulling her punches. She's a lot, very powerful.
This is the early aughts. So Carol is having some issues at the time.
Oh, wasn't she snatched? Wasn't she married off and kidnapped and raped?
Not amusingly enough, but interestingly enough, she was being guided by her son/husband during the battle, which may have contributed to her murdering the master.
Someone, anyone. At that point, her just snapping and going, I'm going to end something. You ever just punch something because you're in a bad mood? She gets some help.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I try to avoid that personally, but it is a sensation I'm not going to say I'm unfamiliar with.
Right. I think that it is a sensation we've all had to address and hopefully learn to control. Yes.
But, yes. So they confront the master. There are very many fun action scenes. Sasquatch busts up a bunch of stuff. Aurora, turns out to, much like Storm, have some claustrophobia issues. So she's also multiple personalities. I didn't even mention Aurora has multiple personalities. She has multiple personalities. And sometimes when she is restrained or stressed, she will convert from her superheroine persona of Aurora to Jean-Marie Bobier, her civilian personality, who is a Catholic, a grade school teacher from Quebec. And
what?
Who does not approve of her superhero alter ego's activities.
A, like Moon Knight? All of a sudden there's a taxi driver inside of him.
Poorly handled depictions of mental illness in Marvel Comics in the early 80s. Someone could do a thesis. Not me. I still have to wrap up.
Somebody who wants to.
I have to wrap up my degree. Who knows? I could go back and do that.
The one.
Yes. They defeat the master. Then we get a solo issue with Puck, where he busts a drug rig operating out of a small town hospital. Gets a lot of background set up.
Oh, cool.
Snowbird has a solo issue where Byrne basically says, you know, superheroes pretending to be policemen is kind of dumb. Don't do it. There's a sequence where she fights another of the great beasts in a snowstorm. So there are no figures drawn on the page, only sound effects and thought bubbles.
Oh, like it's just like a snowstorm.
White. Yes.
And so you just bzz, 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 and then thought bubbles of how the fight's going.
Yes. And and she'll go, oh, his punch has damaged me greatly. I must find some way to defeat him. And rumble as she drops a cliff on him. And it's an interesting story. It's issue 6 of Alpha Flight.
Was it compelling even though it was just mostly a snowstorm?
It was very creative. Even though I can't remember if it happened before or after. There was an issue of What If where they did the all joke issue. And there was a joke about a bunch of white themed superheroes fighting, I think, Wendigo in a snowstorm. And it was just a blank panel.
I do like it when they kind of make fun of themselves a little bit, and it's kind of also a very inside kind of joke too.
Yes. They did that issue also included What If Alpha Flight Talked Like TV Canadians, where they all talked like McKenzie Brothers.
Okay.
Don't squeeze the shaman, eh? Ooh, that's a bad one, eh?
That should last a page and a half and be done with it.
One panel, half a page. Absolutely loved it.
There we go. Good.
Now I'm okay. So then we get another two pager of North Star and Aurora go to Montreal to their old stomping grounds. North Star is a fascinating background. He was, before joining Alpha Flight, in his late teens, early 20s, an acrobat, a skier, and a separatist terrorist, an Olympic skier.
I like separatist terrorist, Olympic skier. So he wanted to separate Quebec from Canada.
He participated.
He also wanted to be in the Canadian Olympics.
Well, you know, Quebec didn't have a downhill ski team. So that he wasn't, I assume not all at once.
Compromises had to be made.
Yes. There was a miniseries about him that was released in the 90s. All along, also, he was one of the first gay superheroes. Byrne pretty much established it from the go. You know, people would say, hey, North Star, how come you don't date any of these hot chicks who dig you as a professional athlete? And he just gets cranky and looks at them. And, you know, they have this thing. There's a character in their story who is not comfortable with. I think the age discrepancy was a little bit weird. It seemed to be may have had a romantic relationship when he was younger. Mm-hmm. Once again, not familiar with the generally accepted principles of gay relationships in the time, but Byrne apparently thought it was kind of fine to do.
What I am surprised is that Byrne did not say at any time with North Star he was poked and prodded in places that he didn't know that he was existed, because that would be the hacky gay male joke to make. And it sounded like Byrne had an interest in orifices.
Yeah, he was a...
So he might have.
You know, it's entirely possible he did it at some point and I missed it.
Because as we know, you were sometimes reading only every other
issue. Yes, alternate issues. I didn't read the complete run of this until it was released in trade a few years ago. I had gaps.
But it's nice to then catch up and go, oh, look at this.
Yes. You get to view it with all the perspective you've gained since then.
Yes.
So they meet a supervillain named Deadly Ernest who's trying to control I think real estate in Montreal, which is still a very valuable commodity. And he's killed by Nemesis, who is mysterious back then. I believe they've established things about them since then. Then you get a Sasquatch solo story where he goes north, meets the Super Skrull, who is dying of super cancer, and he wants him to broadcast him into space back to the Skrull homeworld, which I think may have been eaten by Galactus. I'm not up to date, but he defeats him and instead scatters his atoms across the universe because he's a jerk and murdered a bunch of scientists.
Now,
the next issues, I know we're almost at the time. I hate being like this, so I am going to...
We can go over a little bit.
Oh, beautiful.
What the heck?
So I'm
fascinated.
As we've been going along, it's still very... they're still sort of like, well, how are we going to do this? We're superheroes, but we don't have government backing. You know, that's why they're all going around. Sasquatch apparently has a lot of money because football pays well. And he also comes from a wealthy family. But Guardian gets a job offer from an American company. Hey, Jackie, you want to guess which one it is? Who did you mention earlier on? Roxanne. Oh, yeah. He gets a job offer from Roxanne. So him and Heather give notice on their apartment in Ottawa. It's like on Laurier Street, but it's like Byrne makes up places. So it's like not actually, there is a Laurier Street in Montreal, not in the middle of a nice residential neighborhood. So Mac and Heather give notice. They go to New York and it turns out that Mac's old boss from Can-Am, after Mac stole the suit and kept the helmet and destroyed all the research, got disgraced, fired, and divorced because his wife was, in fact, the daughter of the president of the Roxanne Corporation. And this is, I believe, before he was established as a Minotaur.
Who's a Minotaur?
Isn't the president of Roxanne a Minotaur? There was like I think there was a Thor story a few years back.
Right. I remember there being a Minotaur, but I don't know. I don't remember it being. I remember it was some sort of demon or some sort of shape changer, I thought. Yeah.
But actually, I was mistaken. His ex-wife was, in fact. Yes. Well, a corporation guy is evil. It's like in the evil corporation you've been running it this way for like 40 years. You know, it's good to know that Marvel didn't trust oil companies even in the 70s. They were like, no, I don't like these guys. This sort of Exxon company is out for their own good. I don't know if they're trying to help people. But he was his firing was from Can-Am.
Wow.
So he attempts suicide after he hits rock bottom, fails, but he is then in a wheelchair. So he then gets hired by Roxanne, who... Huh? I'm a little dusty on why, if Roxanne's plan was to have him put together a supervillain team, or if they wanted to get Guardian specifically, perhaps Alpha Flight did something which annoyed them. They're an evil corporation. They have long memories. But
did they want their suit back and their helmet?
Oh, this is a completely different thing. And you know, at this point, super suits are just, you know, a dime a dozen. You know, just if you want a super suit, just go, you know. Hire Justin Hammer.
Order He'll one put from. Something. All right.
Evil, okay. Evil Wish, Evil Timu. We'll get you a super suit.
Exactly.
So what he does is he then gets all the former members of Beta Flight and Gamma Flight to form a new supervillain team called Omega Flight. And yes,
what
Omega? So they are then
the
going
Alpha
to
and the Omega. Yes.
Yes. And they go to they abduct Heather to draw Mac in. Mac, amusingly enough, rents Captain America's old apartment. And because...
In Brooklyn?
Stubborn. In Brooklyn, yeah. You know, he'll just commute into Manhattan for the Roxxon gig.
Sure. Maybe it doesn't pay enough possibly to get a door band building in Manhattan.
I mean, it may be, or maybe they just were able to, you know, I just think he'd like the synchronicity of Captain America moving out, Captain Canada moving in.
Yes.
So they begin a fight. Guardian summons Alpha Flight for some backup. And there's some very interesting thing where they all gather together, and Shaman does a ritual which transports them to Guardian's location, and they engage with Omega Flight. It's very exciting. One of the members of Omega Flight is Diamond Lil, and she's a mutant. She's still very active, I think, in the X-Men comics.
Okay.
Snowbird is weakened by being in the United States, because apparently she is bound to Canada. Because I'm not sure how that works. Because once again, her pantheon is very much associated with the northern part of Canada, which might mean that she should be then specifically bound to the Northwest Territories and Yukon. I'm not sure. But right. She's weakened by the travel. Diamond Lil attempts to strangle her with one of her hairs because she's super invulnerable. Shaman defeats her with the power of the mind. Gives her nightmares and stuff. There's a guy named... and Smart Aleck is there, who previously was a member of the original Alpha Flight. He botched it.
Right.
So now he was put back into Beta Flight. Alpha Flight got quit. He was working... hustling for chess in the West Edmonton Mall. So basically he would just play 20 games of chess for cash. And that's what he was doing.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, if you're a genius, there are better ways to use that superpower, dude. Go patent some stuff. Go invent the internet in 1980. But.
Right. I always wondered why Peter Parker was delivering pizzas if he was a science genius. And I was stop making crummy money and get a job in science.
You know, he needs the flexibility that comes with pizza delivery to also fit in his superhero stuff.
All right.
So yes. And there's also Box there, who is a member of Beta Flight, who basically had a super robot. The character's name is Roger Box. So he has a super bot. He's a gentleman who does not have any legs. So he created this remote control robot to act as a superhero. But it turns out that the Box robot is actually being controlled by Jerry Jackson, Guardian's old boss, who also is himself in a wheelchair. So, you know, the mobile control robot works really well. He confronts Guardian directly. They get into a big Donnybrook. Guardian is able to defeat him, possibly killing Jackson, and from the feedback, but his own suit is damaged, so he's got like 10 seconds to detach his power source before it overloads, and there's an entire really cool 9-panel grid of counting down, and he's like, oh, gotta do this, gotta be careful, let's do this, Mac, let's get this sucker out. And Heather had been kidnapped, walks into the room, says, oh, hey, Mac, it's you, explode, boom, die. The cover of this issue, this is Alpha Flight issue 12. Yes.
What?
Well, you know, we don't know how Burns, I don't know if Burns' feelings towards women are great, but I think that set up much
he
of the
drama.
You
might have a complicated relationship with women women superheroes.
Yes. But yes, the cover of the issue is really cool. It's a very light red, shows just the faces of all the Alpha Flight characters in crosshairs. And the title is, "And One Shall Surely Die." And there's actually a band called Vulcan Dub Squad in Toronto that wrote a song called Alpha Flight Number 12 about reading that comic book. And it's very interesting. And I encourage everyone to dig it up. It's just a neat little heavy guitar tune about that. And yes, that is that is the conclusion of Alpha Flight number 12. Guardian dies.
All right. So where are they to? We are going to have to go at this point.
At this point,
where
yes.
are they? Are they? Is there a current? Is anyone writing it now?
No. Released the fifth. They just released a compilation of the most recent limited series written by Canadian writer Ed Brisson. After it was part of the Krakoa stuff.
Okay.
So Alpha Flight is working with the government tracking down mutants because of the Orcus organization. Mm-hmm. And the mutant mm-hmm. members of Alpha Flight are protecting refugee movements, mutants. Oh, but it all turns out to be a scam. Alpha Flight's working to protect the mutants. And they end up all going to jail. And now they've returned in the current run of X-Men. Haven't read those, but it looks very interesting.
Was Byrne, I don't know if he's still alive, but is he Canadian?
He lived in Canada for some time. I think in his youth, before he got mm-hmm. into comics, I believe he lived in Calgary with his family. He was born in the UK. They moved to Canada, and he moved to the States to become a comic artist. He did take some.
Okay.
I believe he went to school in Calgary as a graphic designer or mm-hmm. artist. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm not sure he considers himself Canadian. I mean, I believe he's just like the actress who plays Mantis. You know, she was born here, but she doesn't consider herself Canadian.
Oh, really?
Because her father was a diplomat.
I see. Okay.
But Byrne, I think he had some familiarity with the country and its history being raised here, but.
And for him to create Canadian superheroes is kind of cool. That's why I was just wondering.
Yes.
But it's great that they have more Canadian writers writing stories about Canadian superheroes.
Yes.
It's just smart. It just makes more sense because then they'll pick a street that actually exists. And
well, Google Maps is actually also a great benefit for that.
Yes, he could have done a little research in the 80s. He could have just got a McNally Atlas.
Yes, exactly.
So it would have all worked out. They had maps back then.
Yes. But fake streets is better because you don't have to worry about, you know, someone trying to find or something. I don't know.
People showing up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chip Zdarsky wrote a short story in a Civil War one shot where Iron Man boxes with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Just as a thing they do to chill out. And there was also a one shot with three stories. One of them written by Canadian writer Jim Zub had Talisman and Snowbird. And then there was one about Puck confessing to Mariner that he'd killed one of her family members. The third's, well, you know, she's an alien and her race is an invasive species. To put it that way, they basically send a spaceship to a planet, mm-hmm. spew out thousands of eggs, who then become super warriors, conquer the planet, build spaceships, go to the next planet. They were real bad news. You know, I think something happened to them. One of them showed up on PEI. Puck killed it in the 40s. And so he's like, sorry, Marina, I know it was just one of your family members and he was just raised bad, but he was hurting people, need to be put down.
And she's like, well, I have 1,000 brothers and sisters, so it's okay. You could always lose a couple. Justin, this has been a very interesting, but just kind of, we didn't get to Bendis.
No, we didn't.
But I think it was been established what drives you mad. And I think that people could, if they started reading, like if you were going to choose one trade for someone to read, if they wanted to get to know some Alpha Flight, what would you recommend?
I think there's an X-Men versus X-Men and Alpha Flight trade that has a lot of the introductory stories. So it basically got the first time they meet Guardian.
Essentially those one shots. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the early stories, you got the X-Men where Guardian shows up. Then you got the Chaos in Calgary. Then you have the one where they Wolverine and Nightcrawler go up to Canada, fight the Wendigo with them. And, you know, it's got a good collection of early stuff. You can, they just released an omnibus of the, Burn Run.
Too much.
Can't handle those. Yeah. Physically, they're painful to read. I have
they the are. Trade. They are not fun to read. They're too big. Yeah.
There's a three part trade. Oh, speaking of beautiful covers, there's number two with a version of
And
One Should Surely Die. That was the cover of issue 12 right before Mac.
Right.
So, yeah. Yes, it is. They had their first run went over 100 issues. I didn't read it after Byrne left. It didn't catch me. It was being written, I think, by Bill Mantlow. Him and Byrne actually switched. Mantlow was working on the Hulk. Byrne was doing Alpha Flight. They switched. So Byrne started doing the Hulk and he left after, I think he did like 6 issues. The Hulk and Banner got separated. The Hulk rampaged across the South. All of the Avengers had to fight him. There's actually a really cool issue where Iron Man, Wonder Man, Submariner, and I can't remember who the fourth one, also very strong. They all get together and they fight the Hulk. They destroy a town. Does not do anybody any good. It was Byrne's run on the Hulk. Short, very engaging for a teenage boy. So.
You guys, Justin Moharib has been on the show now several times. It's always superhero talk. I thought I had brought some, but I only brought DC. I brought to read because I'm behind on some of my Jeff Loeb Batmans. So, but thank you so much for this. Was again, I'm on the road so much that this was not a lot of notice. So. I learned stuff about Alpha Flight. And so excellent. Thank you so much for taking time to talk me through a lot of it. And yeah, you guys, it's at Justin Moharib on the Instagram, right?
I'm the Bitter Guy on Blue Sky and Twitter.
Okay.
If anyone and still Twitter. Uses Twitter.
Which you shouldn't be, but on Blue Sky. And then what's the acronym for the podcast?
Is that some kind of Japanimation thing? ITSKOJT.
Okay. And it'll be in the notes.
It'll be in the notes. If you want to search for hashtag ITSKOJT, you will find me being weird in the comments of other people's posts about anime because only my friends, they know it's a bit, but yes.
Good news. And so on the Japanimation podcast, do you talk about anime?
Yes. We just finished watching Trigun, the original series, the movie, and then the first season of the new series. And he introduces me to these worlds and then breaks my heart. And God bless you, Scott. Thank you very much.
All right. So that's the ticket, you guys. So thank you so much for listening to the show. Thanks for doing the show. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
Well, it was last night I did it with Justin Moharib.
Oh, yeah?
Who has been on the program before.
Yes, he has. He's also one of your fans.
He is a fan, but he's talked a lot about Marvel. And in this case, he talked about Alpha Flight because he's Canadian.
Oh, right. Canadian's number one super team.
That's it. And we went through it and I was punchy as all get out. Mm-hmm, so he carried the show.
Right. He did he talk great. About Beta Flight and Gamma Flight as well?
He did. He talked about how they were cannibalized and how they went bad. They got put into sort of a Thunderbolts kind of bad guy teams.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it was weird because you just put Alpha Flight into the Hero Instant.
I did. I ran a game this weekend. It was a trio of Alpha Flight characters and a trio of Great Lakes Avengers characters solving a murder mystery on the Great Lakes.
at Kublai Khan.
At Kublai Khan in San Francisco, and it was really fun. And my players had a good time. And I had
Kublai Khan, of course, is from the 13th century. But Kublai Khan, which is a convention.
A convention, yep. A big game convention in San Francisco, yep. And it was super fun, and I had a nice time. And the game was silly and awesome. And
did people know who Alpha Flight were at the game? Did they
some of them? Yeah, it's interesting. We're going to end up talking about my game rather than your episode.
But Alpha Flight, right?
I found that I get more response to my games. Like people sign up when they are based on you know, like characters from the DC or the Marvel universe, right? For these convention games. But then the people show up and they're like, I know a little bit. They don't really know that much about it. So I had most everybody in the Alpha Flight Great Lakes Avengers game did not know who these characters were.
Okay.
A few did, but not many.
But then you told them about these characters and what their powers were.
Right. And then they see the character sheet and they get it and they understand what's going on.
And then they use those powers.
Right. Mr. Immortal was very funny. He blew himself up.
For the good of the team?
For the good of, well, I guess.
That's a classic.
Tippy Toe. There was a player playing Tippy Toe, the Squirrel Girl's sidekick. There was no Squirrel Girl in the game. Just Tippy Toe.
That was a choice you made.
That's a choice I made.
I would want to play Squirrel Girl, but
those are Great Lakes Avengers. Fun? Yes. Of the Alpha Flight, we had Talisman and Sasquatch as players. So I had two of the three. I had five the Fly player game, and Flatman. Flatman was the fifth player from the Great Lakes Avengers.
Mm, okay.
And he's the most competent of all of them, honestly. Except for, of course, Talisman and Sasquatch were very competent.
Right, because Alpha Flight is actually a real. They're
government sponsored superhero team, Canadian government, of course, but
yes,
so they're just pressed up against the wall of America.
Right. Are they allowed back out
and trying not to create an international incident.
Sure, but I love the flexibility of that, and it's what made me think about Alpha Flight, which is weird that Justin would want to do. Like, as you were telling me about Alpha Flight, Justin...
Totally coincidental.
Yes. Hilarious. And a great episode. Justin covered it. And you should listen. He has a podcast called, Is This Sort of Like Japanimation?
Okay.
It's almost that. It's almost that. I have to actually...
Not quite that. You're going to have to put that in the notes.
That's going to be in the notes, but it's a podcast about anime.
Okay.
But using the original name that was used in the United States, Japanimation.
Japanimation, right. It got shortened to anime.
Yeah. And he is doing a podcast with a friend who is explaining different, they watch anime together that he's never watched. And then they review that. So, but he's great. And it was a super fun episode.
Yay.
And yay. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?